Have you been thinking about taking on more debt? Maybe it's something some people are looking at because interest rates are so low, and as a result, the temptation to borrow is growing. How do you DIY your own financial stress test? Joining us to talk about this is Doug Hoyes, licensed insolvency trustee, co-founder of Hoyes Michaels and Associates. Hello, Doug Hoyes. Thanks so much for doing this.
Hi, Barb. Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you off the top, it's not like I don't have any debt, but feel like I have a bit of a healthy fear of debt. But I can imagine there are some people that when they maybe have a little bit of extra money, the way things have gone this past year, or interest rates are low, they're very fast to jump in and borrow. And I'm always kind of afraid of that.
Yeah, and so you should be, I think. And you're right, interest rates are low. That's why house prices are so high, because we can borrow against our houses, and that drives all the prices up. But I really like your term, a healthy fear. That's an excellent way to put it, because when you think about it, a healthy fear means what could go wrong. And I mean, I can think of a bunch of things that could go wrong if you take on debt. I mean, one is that interest rates eventually go up. I mean, okay, maybe it won't be this year, but if you sign on to a line of credit and you're going to be paying for years, then higher interest rates at some point could be a problem. What happens if you lose your job? I mean, that's a pretty pertinent question for a whole lot of people having gone through 2020. What about if you're getting government supports now, you're getting CRB, or your company's getting the wage subsidy? What happens when that stuff ends? So there's a whole lot of things that can happen in the future that change today, and that's really what a stress test is all about, looking at what could go wrong and adjusting for it now.
Okay, so let's talk about maybe somebody wants to get a bigger house or buy a new car or do something with their money instead of, heaven forbid, saving it. How do we do a financial stress test?
Well, the first thing I would do is take inventory of where I'm at today. So, okay, what debt do I have? What assets do I have? How much is going out every month? How much is coming in? So do I really need to take on debt to do it? I mean, if I'm buying a car but I've already got two, well, okay, sell one of them and buy the other one. If I've got investments I can cash in, whether that's a good idea or not, we can debate. But is there any way to do what I want to do without borrowing money? I mean, your idea of saving before you spend something, that's an interesting idea, Barb. I've never heard that one before, but that's maybe that's there. An idea right there. You could maybe popularize that concept. But, and I mean, I'm joking. Obviously, in a lot of cases, that's just not possible. I can't really save up to buy a house. I'd be long since not in this world if I did. But I think the first step is figure out where you're at and stress test it. Okay, so if I did take on that additional debt and I now had an extra payment of $200 or $300 a month, could I afford it? What would that look like? And that, I think, helps kind of make the decision as to whether that new debt is actually a good idea or not.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of work you do, you see stuff like this all the time. And I would assume that one of your first questions to yourself, I mean, as a person looking at taking on debt, if you are stretched to the limit to make all of your payments and you don't have any, even small amount of money set aside, it's probably not a good idea to live that way.
Yeah, you've got absolutely no wiggle room. And so I get people who come in and they've got debt and I say, what happened? They go, well, you know, last year I was able to work 10 hours overtime a week and so it was no problem. I was able to cover it. But then the overtime got cut back. Huh, okay, well, that is pretty obvious. And of course, I'm sure I'm going to be talking to a lot of people this year who said, well, everything was going great, but then this virus thing came around and boom, that knocked me for a loop. So those are the kind of questions you want to ask yourself. If my income was to drop by 10%, what would happen? How would that affect my budget? I mean, if you're on a pension, okay, maybe you don't have to worry about that. But if you're getting paid a paycheck by the hour, it's a big thing. What if your company shuts down? What if you have to find a new job? Or what if your expenses go up? What if your landlord says he's selling the place and you're going to have to move? Well, maybe you'll find a place that's cheaper, but maybe moving costs, maybe it'll be more expensive. So you want to think ahead to what could possibly happen and figure out how that could affect us. I mean, can you imagine if you and I had been having this discussion a year ago and I had said, well, gee, Barb, what if there's this big virus and everybody gets locked down for a year? I mean, you would have laughed at me, but That would have perhaps made us change the way we were doing things last year and maybe could have cushioned a little bit of the blow as to what happened in 2020.
Well, I think, you know, the conversation came up and it wasn't long after it was declared a worldwide pandemic that one of the things it really showed was how tight people were in terms of paycheck to paycheck and how quickly people found themselves in a panic situation.
Yeah, absolutely right. When the pandemic started, the savings rate in Canada was virtually zero. And yes, the average person was living paycheck to paycheck. If they lost a paycheck or two, then they wouldn't be able to pay the rent. They wouldn't be able to buy the groceries. And of course, the government of Canada knew that, which is why they came out with CERB, which was a very quick program to get money in people's hands right away, because they knew there were a huge number of people who literally had nothing. And I'm not criticizing anybody for that. If you live in Toronto and you're making this much and rent costs this much, well, you know, well, what are you supposed to do? But it's absolutely a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, as you say, it's not about criticizing people, but let's say if you are in that situation, maybe that's not the time to take on more debt, even if there is something you feel like you would like to have.
Yeah, and I'm always a big believer in having less debt as opposed to more. I mean, obviously I'm biased. That's the business I'm in, but you know, can you pay down some of the existing debt you've got, particularly if it's high interest rate debt? I mean, okay, if you've got a mortgage and the interest rate is 2.5%, then okay, maybe it's not as big a deal. And even if you did lose your job, well, okay, I guess I could sell my house and it wouldn't be devastating. But if you're carrying credit card debt or high interest, you know, payday loan debt, installment loan debt, things like that, I mean, that's a real killer. You're really throwing a lot of money out there. So before I took on something like a new car loan, I'd really like to at least pay down my credit card debt or other high interest debt first, so that the cash flow, which is, of course, cash is king, that's really what you want to be focusing on. How much is going out every month? So if you do have borrowing plans in the future, what can you do to reduce the high interest rate debt you've got today? And maybe that does free up the room to do what you want to do in the future.
Well, and you know, you say people can borrow now with low interest rates, but what happens if the interest rates go up?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, all the economists are saying, no, they're not going up this year. They're probably not going up next year. Okay, well, if I buy a house and get a 25-year mortgage, which doesn't mean the rate is locked in for 25 years, maybe I lock it in for 5 years, what does it look like in 5 years' time or 2 years' time or if I'm on a variable rate? Yeah, maybe you'll be fine for the next year, but where are you longer term? And again, even if interest rates don't go up, even if your loan payment remains fixed, what happens if your situation changes? What if you get sick and you're off work? What if your wages go down? What if your other expenses go up? When you have debt payments, you don't have freedom. And you got the handcuffs on. You are constrained. You have to serve the bank first. That's where your money is going. So you really got to decide if that's the way you want to live. Sometimes you have no choice. I totally get it. But you want to be making as many conscious decisions up front about what you're getting yourself into.
Who, if anyone, would you say is in a good position to take on more debt?
Well, someone with no debt, number one, and somebody who has a stable source of income. So if you've been at your job for many years and you got seniority and the company's doing well, okay, then I guess you can feel a little more safe. But I don't know if there's any company like that in Canada or anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, is there any job that is safe, really? Technology changes so fast that, you know, stuff that was a big thing 5 years ago, well, now there's an app on your phone to do it, and you don't need to go to the person to do it anymore. I mean, things change so fast that, you know, that's a really difficult one. Now, if you're something like a nurse, for example, okay, you're always going to be employed. You're probably going to be fine. Even if you're not working at this place, you'll be working at that place. So how transferable are your skills? Are you the one person who knows how to do the one thing at your company and that's why you're making good money? Or is it something that lots of other people would pay you to do? What's the risk of losing your job or having your income reduced? If the risk is fairly low, well, okay, then I guess you can perhaps be a little bit riskier when taking on debt. But I guarantee you there were a whole lot of Canadians last year who thought their jobs were safe. Hey, I've been at this restaurant for 30 years. Everything will be fine. Well, things can change, as we've now learned.
All right. Doug Hoyes, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for this.
Thanks, Barb.
All right. Doug Hoyes, licensed insolvency trustee, co-founder of Hoyes, Michaelos, and Associates.